So actually, me and my friends, we started this social token club in Stockholm, where we just like we wanted to onboard as many people. You know, when you find something you like, you just want to like, oh, get on board, everyone.
That's true.
You're missing out.
And options trading is already so degenerate, so it's like once you add crypto to it, it's like what's going on here?
Exactly. Exactly. Hello there.
Hey, welcome, Oscar.
Hello.
How you
Thank
going?
you very much. Doing all well.
Good. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
We're pumped to have you. So I guess maybe the first actual question, we're talking a little bit about what you do and stuff like that. Maybe could you give us some context as to how you found yourself at another block and how that came about?
Absolutely. I grew up here in Stockholm and spent most of my teenage years of wanting to become a professional gamer. So I probably spent like 3 years in World of Warcraft, the original metaverse.
Mad.
But then I found myself that I probably need some sort of education. So I went with a pretty wide race of like trying to study some finance and entrepreneurship and engineering, and found it pretty nice to be in this like general position. And at the same time, me and a bunch of friends co-founded this like creative slash digital agency where we basically did everything. We did web campaigns and landing pages and for like startups. But then we found hackathons. So we found that like this pretty huge hackathon organization in Sweden who basically, you know, you organize these 48 to 72 hours long sprints where people go into this and try to solve a
Is that Hack for
problem.
Sweden or something like that?
It is Hack for Sweden.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's pretty massive. You know, we organized with probably 500 people in this like huge venue and people trying to come together and build cool products. And then we did a virtual one with like 8,000 people
Whoa.
to solve the challenges with the pandemic, hack the crisis. That was pretty dope.
That's cool.
But then that was actually the first time. So I got invited to become a judge at a New York hackathon, which was a blockchain hackathon. So I didn't know much about it. And, you know, I got there and it was this like next level. Like these were heavy developers,
Wow.
such a brilliant people.
Wow.
But this was also like an ongoing bear market 2019. So it wasn't too much happening. So I remember I got home. And I scouted a couple of Solidity smart contracts on YouTube, but I got lost because it wasn't like there were no communities. The culture hadn't really been brought in. It was more like some DeFi degenerates, and it was more smaller scale. So I put that on pause, but I went into like the early stage startup world. So I wrote my last two master theses on like how to help early stage projects succeed, and joined in Silicon Valley. There was like this cool Swedish or Nordic hotspot that helped projects try to evolve in Silicon Valley. But I was just faced with that there was everything was just similar. Like everyone was tackling the same issues with the same models, and I had this product of building their community via product, and I just like these incentives, they're not there. No one wants to hang out in like a Slack or a Discord when there's no ownership, there's no shared, you know, upsides. Boom, Web3. It comes and smacks us in our faces. Me and my friends, we got like, we got green pilled or orange pilled or
That's great.
So when I was back When I went back from Silicon Valley, actually, I had a small period of my time where I felt lost in my passion. I was like, okay, everything is same. Either we exploit our users or we toss a bunch of ads at them and make money that way. So with our chief architect now at Another Block, Jonathan, I wanted to record him and make like an interview of like, where did you find your passion to become a developer? And this was his last week as a regular consultant at like a big big tech company. And looking back at it in hindsight, I've never seen anyone that the least passion I've ever seen. And the next week he joined a DAO and started contributing full time as a developer. So he took lead at exploring this realm, and ever since we went full time in Web3, you know, just trying to scout different projects to contribute to, and that was basically the start of what led us up to joining Another Block.
It's definitely a whole new format for basically startups, isn't it? Like it's basically like a whole new way of doing that. And I love it how you brought it all the way back to World of Warcraft, because as a lot of our listeners would know, you know, Vitalik originally started Ethereum because he was frustrated with World of Warcraft and he was frustrated with
nerfed Siphon of Life.
Yeah.
It was a great spell.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. You're all over it. Yeah, because I love it that's the whole basis for starting the second biggest cryptocurrency ever, and it's like, oh, that's crazy, and you know, even though it's a bit of a bear market at the moment, there's a long way to go with Ethereum, I think, and the development there and the merge, which will probably have happened after this episode comes out.
Yes, when this is out, that's true.
Yeah, so that's pretty crazy.
Exactly.
Yeah, maybe
we're sitting and planning a breakfast now, the merge breakfast, because Stockholm is not. Not the best time for it, but we'll make it happen.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And and something that's really cool as well is seeing that kind of Silicon Valley problem solving, throwing the same solutions at it, because I love that Another Block is basically using this crypto method to do something that's very different from your traditional, Silicon Valley seed funding rounds and crazy amounts of capital being thrown at a problem. And when everyone's trying to build the same thing, obviously it's there's only a few of them are going to succeed. So it's probably only the ones with the longest runways.
When I started exploring Web3, it was also a lot about the trend was in social token clubs. DeFi was still super hot, so I joined into like an early stage incubator there too to tie together the whole bag of incubators. So I was sitting and doing like a product design for a DeFi options platform, very deep tech. And you could only sit for that long in that project because it was very degenerate, finding the best option trading models. So me and my friends, we started this social token club in Stockholm, where we just like, we wanted to onboard as many people. You know, when you find something you like, you just want to like, get on board, everyone.
Yeah.
You're missing out.
Yeah. And options trading is already so degenerate. So it's like, once you add crypto to it, it's like, what's going on here?
Exactly. But I mean, I think actually like me and my whole crew of people, we went to ETH Lisbon. And I think that was really when it clicked, because everything just came together. It was like the culture, rebellious mindset of like people wanting to change the world. It was everything, economy and tech coming together.
Yeah, absolutely. And so we've had our first drop of Rehab and Laid Back Luke. That was Weekend on a Tuesday. So far this episode will be coming out just after the drop 2, which is Acquainted by The Weekend, which is such a big heavy hitter of a song, which is really cool. So what artist would you want to see come to the platform in the future if you had one dream artist to come and capture with Another Block?
I mean, it's gonna have to be Fred again, actually.
Yeah, right. Wow. Interesting.
Fred again. Yeah.
Okay.
Because Another Block, we went the whole team to New York with this NFT NYC, and we got to see this like huge inspiring artist, Daniel Allen, who's like a true native in the space.
Yeah, I've seen him.
But there was one event I was completely alone because I'm like a Friends with Benefits member and no one else had the tokens. Mm-hmm. So I went there alone. It was the only place that didn't have an open bar. Mm. So I was standing there very sober in the middle of the dance floor. And the only thing that saved me was this Fred Again song came on. And I was like, it's still fun. It's still nice here. So yeah. That's my dream artist.
So again,
that's very good. Yeah, it's always good when you can kind of relate a little bit there. So one thing that I thought was really cool about Another Block, and one of the reasons that I'm actually stoked to be working with you guys, obviously, is that it's an NFT which actually has cash flows. So as well as just the capital gains aspect of, or some would call it even the greater fool theory, where you're just continuing to buy something on top of someone else just because they're willing to sell it. And that's obviously not true for some projects, and it's true for others. But one of the great things about it is a market can decide what has real value over a long term, you know? So it's almost like the, you know, like Warren Buffett says, it's a weighing machine in the long term, right? So, so basically as you make a yield, people can kind of work out what the future value of the another block tokens really are, because, you know, we're making money from the royalties, from Spotify, and the holders are owning a piece of that song quite literally in terms of the, in terms of the royalties. So do you think that there's a future for another block style tokens, where even if another block does it, they take on another asset class? Like, for example, it takes on a property and divides up into NFTs, and there's cash flows coming in there. It takes up a business and divides it up into NFTs and takes it there. Because I think that it's a really valuable model for any assets that make real cash flows. There's a real value there, and people can work out that value based on if they want to make 5% or 20% or whatever, you know, they can work out the value.
Definitely. Definitely. I think, I mean, we've been looking a lot of like the kind of the infrastructure that we're building. So like you basically, you are able to take any real world Web2 money streams and put it into tokens and like, you know, divide ownership and, you know, when you deposit. So we're still really, we really want to get this. It requires us that the DSPs and these kind of partners wants to send out crypto before we can remove another block from the equation. But that would be the goal, to just like, you have tokens and automatically you get sent this real world money streams into it. But exactly, we talked about, you know, as we do with the Spotify DSPs and Apple and Tidal getting that royalties, you could also do the same with YouTube videos, which is very easy. Like you could just, you know, get, correct, you own 5% of a YouTube video and you get the royalties from that.
That's a great point, isn't it? Like, imagine that. Imagine building a YouTube personality, funding their next video that they're doing, taking a maybe a slightly larger portion of it. That's a really, really cool idea. I know you just threw it out there, but that's really good. And even the concept, as you were saying, I was like, even the concept of maybe white labeling the system that you've put in place, taking it, maybe not even doing it as another block, but helping another company or even consulting with other companies as to how you can take the model, which is, as you said, Oscar, taking a Web2 cash flow and turning it into the Web3 ecosystem, taking that and applying it to different situations is really, really interesting. And so that's a cool concept.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Do you think that it could ever turn into, say, like a full service kind of platform where, say, a small independent artist can kind of link up their own Spotify and Apple Music podcasts? They kind of go, or Apple Music accounts and stuff, and they go into, say, another block, and they're like, oh, this is my application. They fill out a bit of a form. They fill out their details. Maybe they have a call with the team. And then there's kind of some automated system in between where it kind of handles the legal contracts. It automatically generates some contracts. It automatically emails them with follow-ups. It automatically shows them what the another block process is. And then say they plug in their end, and then all those intricacies of the big drop and all of the stuff that another block kind of does, like collecting the payments and the minting and getting it from that primary market to the secondary market after it mints and all that stuff. Do you think that there's any way that, for example, all of that could be integrated into some kind of front end system where a smaller artist comes to it and then, they do that process and then it's dropped kind of for them? Is that a good future idea? Yeah.
You think it's good?
No, it is. It is possible. I mean, it is a good idea. I mean, we have been talking a lot about, like, we call it a self-serving platform. And, you know, for us is basically, I think that moving forward, we're going to have, so you've seen now in our two latest drop, it's like highly curated, big artists, you know, finding our niche. But there's nothing stopping us in, like, you know, having, we call it kind of like external contracts. So like when we are launching our own NFTs, we're responsible for it selling out, you know, pushing the marketing, finding buyers for it, but we want to have like where we could release, perhaps not in the first step with independent artists, but we want to find a way for other people, record labels or these kind of players or artists, that they are responsible for selling out. Almost like, you know, some XYZ kind of thinking where people come to the platform, they deliver the infrastructure, but they are there to find buyers and listeners and fans to support them.
Yeah, gotcha. That's really cool. Okay, so I was thinking about this, maybe even taking Isaac's question a step further. So we've interviewed a couple of other projects recently, and one of them is, we interviewed them a long time ago, and it was called Unchained Music. It might have been like our second or third interview. Is it Matt? Yeah. I think it's Matt from Unchained.
Yeah, that's Isaac's it. Yeah.
Yeah. And so basically, like, simply they just allow artists to distribute all of their songs to DSPs for free. And they use liquidity pools to do that and some technical backend. But from an artist perspective, they're not aware of that. And so the appearance is, it just happens for free, which is a really cool little service for artists. And I was thinking, like, man, imagine, and obviously this is taking a step, this is maybe just a hypothetical, but imagine creating like a mega suite where people, like, literally they came in with their song, they uploaded it to the platform, it distributed it for free. It also, or even maybe before that, there was the ability to, as Isaac, as they were talking about, I think last week, with a project called Ocean Floor Music. So it's like a funding platform, right? So you create some NFTs with the future prospect that they're going to generate some royalties. The NFTs fund the making of the song. The song goes up on the platform. It gets distributed for free. And then the royalties that are paid back to the artist also go to the fans who originally funded the track. I think like something like that would be so crazy. But
it would definitely be easier to be an artist then, right?
Yeah, right?
Yeah. But you know, you kind of got to see like what kind of challenges you're tackling. So right now we went into this with the vision of like, it's never been easier to listen to music. And it's like Spotify, it's cheap, it's accessible. But you know, we kind of missed this like spark of ownership. And I don't know, you probably feel the same way. But when you listen to a track that you know you co-own, it hits differently.
So true. That's first time I listened to The Weeknd on Tuesday, I was like, man, this is crazy that I own the smallest little percentage of this.
Yeah.
You know, I stream it's hard to describe.
Yeah. It's hard to quantify because it's not even a thing. It's an emotional connection. And if you don't understand it, it's because you don't own it. And it's very difficult to explain.
Yeah. But you know, in terms of vision, I think, you know, decentralizing music as our core mission and value, I mean, of course we're gonna have to look at also like the how you can distribute new artists and making a full suite product, that would be freaking awesome for a lot of people, I think. So we're talking with Unchained Music. We had a great call last week. So you know, we're already starting to work on integrating data sharing and these kind of things.
It's good.
And we have a talk with the community to it would be the dream to have this another block independent record label too, where people of the community gets to, you know, choose which artists are upcoming.
That's good.
Who should we release? So, you know, collaborating with Unchained Music for that.
Yeah. It's good to get the community involved as well. One of the things that I really like about another block is say like there are a lot of projects out there who are trying to fully reinvent music or fully reinvent the whole way that we listen to music. Or if you look at Audius, for example, that's just one off the top of my head. I think it gets too complicated with what you're trying to do. They're trying to build a whole new thing. They're trying to build a whole different disruptor. And yes, that worked for Uber and Airbnb. But there's probably a million startups out there that it hasn't worked for. One of the things that's really cool about another block is that it's so simple. Like it's just such it's a one product solution for a one really cool problem, and it lets people make money from the music that they love. And so it's like we're bringing all of this and consolidating it into one simple pipeline instead of just like, oh, we're going to make more people listen to Audius and we're going to get them to do this and they're going to love this music because of this. And then they just build a whole complicated network of everything. And if it works, it's great.
Finding partnerships in this ecosystem is much easier. Like we build these small things, you know, we usually say in another block, like if we want to build that, can we be the best at it? Because there are teams putting in full time into solving this problem. So it's much easier to just like collaborate on them. And you've probably seen like Cooper Turley's big, huge map of all the products in music NFTs. It's really growing.
Yeah, it's very true.
I think that the way we tackle it, I mean, even though when we talk about like things as utility, like, or how you manage your whitelists and allow lists, there's great projects for these like simple problems. Yes,
exactly right.
For sure. That's exactly right. I like, I think one of the things that I found with the first drop as well, that I thought was a little bit funny about using NFTs was actually that it's actually like all of the NFTs are actually the same. So it's really interesting to do it through an NFT lens when it could be, for example, a fungible token instead of a non-fungible one. So like something where everything's completely interchangeable and homogenous. And then like, for example, there would be advantages like staking and easily seeing the price going up and down like a stock and, you know, trade, and they would all be kind of like an interchangeable sort of token, similar to say an Ethereum, for example. So do you think that there's any future iteration where you can buy and sell the NFTs more as a fungible platform where everything kind of moves up and down together? Or do you think that there's value in keeping it unique and having your own piece of the song?
I mean, as we see it right now, this is going to be, so if this is going to be sent out after the merch, we'll see. But we've gone with the strategy of like keeping the NFT on Ethereum for kind of like the base security. But then we talked a lot about, you know, what we can do with the royalties associated with it. So if we would perhaps want to have it possible for people to get it streamed on a layer two, you know, have it a little bit omni-chain and utilize that thing. And then we also talked about also Vitalik's latest thing about the soulbound token, also from World of Warcraft, where we can utilize a soulbound token as kind of to give all the holders that claim royalties that also gets a little bonus as a soulbound, so they can level up in the another block ecosystem. And you can, in that term, burn your soulbound token for utility. So that's the kind of the ERC-20 tokens that we're talking about right now, to have it as kind of a utility scoring.
Yeah. So it's not like a new version. It's like already existing on the ERC-20, ERC-721, that kind of network. Like it's something that's
would be like non-transferable. They wouldn't have any value outside of the utility store.
Oh, that's so interesting. Yeah, right. Okay. Mm. So so having moved to the 18th episode of Another Block Studios so far, that means we've hit the stage where we've interviewed 16 other projects. We started with Michelle. This is our second Another Block in-house kind of interview. So we've got plenty of other projects that we're a fan of. I'm sure you've got plenty of other projects that you're a fan of as well that we haven't even featured yet. What would you say is your favorite non-Another Block NFT, and why would that be?
Mish and I, we all both dead fellas. So we kind of like that in the terms of like the regular PFP kind of moment. But we also had a huge pitch to if we would, for Another Block, buy a Bored Ape. But then all the controversies about Yuga Labs started, so we perhaps were better off sitting at the sideline.
Yeah.
But in terms of like my favorite project right now, you know, we have this like group builders club together outside of Another Block. A lot of Another Block members are also in the Matos, and we host like Crypto Bar. And we usually like we ape in together on similar projects.
That's so cool.
But otherwise, you know, I love Soundmint.
Yes.
Generative art.
Yes.
I'm sure there'll be a answer next time. next week there'll be a new one that's hot.
That's true.
Yeah. Man. You know, I was early in Soundmint, and I really love their like the, you know, when I started on Another Block, I was like, ah, this like generative, that's dope. And they hosted a truly magnificent party in New York as well, when we got to see San Holo perform.
Oh, live. Cool.
And, you know, there was a huge vibe of like music fans and, but you know, they paused a little bit, but I've got my fingers crossed that they're.
Yeah, we love Soundmint. We talked to Andre a couple of weeks ago, and biggest legend, has some serious heart, some serious past in YouTube. Seriously knows how that works. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Okay, question. Back to offering in NFTs. So, so right now, obviously, we just, if you own the NFT, you own a bit of the song, or the royalties for the song, you get some distributions there. Is there a world, or is it important to you? What do you think about adding some unlockable content, additional bits and pieces on top of that to increase the value a little bit? Has there been any of those conversations at all?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I need to like to clarify that we're probably one of the few products that only evaluate our tokens based on the streaming royalties.
Yeah. It's so definitely
like, unusual. We skipped like the emotional value and the fans value, because we really wanted to start off with just like, this is the value of music. This is the mint price. But with terms of like utility, there's so much you can token gate. So right now we got a new in-house designer, which is awesome, because then we can toss it more, you know, faster. I think like the revival of the profile page is going to be the next big focus. So like, how fun is it when we have one token and not as much, but you know, once we're dropping more, we're going to fill that out. It's going to be so pretty.
That's mad. How quickly do you think? So obviously at the moment, frequency is something like we're doing like maybe one a month or something like that. Like, what do you reckon we have capacity for? Could we see in the future a drop a week, a drop every day? You know, what's realistic? What's some expectations in your head, do you think?
The limitations, I would say, is bringing up the hype and, you know, sharing the narrative. You know, getting it out marketing wise, you know, spending time with all the rights holder and the artists that are divesting. But technically, we could probably release, you know, every other day.
That'd be really cool. That'd be so cool to kind of see it get on that. It's almost like that flywheel stage where it's like, oh yeah, now we're really spinning, you know. Now, as the Aussies would say, we're cooking with gas. So something that...
as my dad would say.
Yeah. That's it.
But that's good. You don't want to go too fast before you're taking the community with you on the journey. So what you're saying makes a lot of sense.
It has to breathe. You have to evolve it. And you need to be able to, once we dropped Rehab and Layback Week, you need to spend some time of like, you know, digging into the analytics, sharing that, taking care of small bugs, so, you know, really listening in.
Yeah, that's cool. And we definitely loved the first drop. So speaking of doing one, say like, for example, one a month until it's like really worked out. It's been, nine or 10 months so far of kind of another block. We've had, you know, I'm sure there's been ups and downs in the development cycle, trying to release, trying to launch. Only ups. you know, tears and laughs in the office, I'm sure. But yeah, so getting the first iteration of the product out there is something which is really cool, and we were stoked along with the team, obviously. So do you think, if you think of it more like a startup, it's like it's the first iteration of product, right? And so yeah, that first drop coming to market, what was the biggest challenge that you guys kind of faced getting it to where it was, and what was the biggest highlight as well?
Yeah, so I mean, we started off with, when I joined in, we had this kind of vision of focusing on being a marketplace. So like a bit of more of an open sea, but very tailored to music NFTs. And I had a hard time seeing it, like for the people that are really involved in Web3, they really like the liquidity that OpenSea has, like the mass volumes. And the Web2 people, they're not super interested in, you know, flipping it. So me and the team, we quickly realized, like, just focus on a couple of dope ass drops in the beginning, and then we can shape the product, you know, following the current meta of the NFT market. So I think that really went well. But, you know, with that came a lot of iterations. But we have now, we got a lot of backup in the dev team with White Fluffy and Zero X Pilou joining in. Great guys. And, you know, we also brought in one of our product designers. And we worked with him in a lot of hackathons. So we had that, like, we had the hackathon vibe. And we had one of the most well-planned projects yet that I've been ever part of, you know, because we scoped it up really nice. So, you know, we were sitting there 2 weeks before launch and we're like, yep, it is ready to go.
Oh, very good. That's That's unexpected. Yeah. That's actually pretty unusual, I reckon. Like that's
well done. It is unexpected. Yeah. But you know, we also, you know, we really wanted to listen to the market. You know, this spring we had a decent crash and a decent, you know, lowering in the activity of the NFT space, and it was a lot of free mints that became like the meta, which really it doesn't really work with our idea now, because like we want to raise the volume of music, not like give it away for free. But you know, like the biggest hurdles is just like to get all the law things and, you know, the Web 2 and Web 3 together. Like the legal contract still needs to be there, and but I would say smoother than expected.
Good, love it. Yeah, you're right. You're dealing with a lot of bureaucracy there. You're dealing with one of the oldest sort of institutions, other than sort of the financial institution. I mean, the music industry has been around for a long time. And
it does.
Yeah,
but you know, we're happy that a lot of people are putting faith in us and into the Web3 realm. So that there's been a lot of people that's like they're open to experiment. And, you know, we really see it as like a win-win. Because like with Rehab and Layback Loop, we get a strong community of like that's really invested in the success of the track.
Yeah, that's cool. Okay, so got a couple of tracks coming out. We've seen one already. The Weeknd's track's coming out soon.
Shout out Danny Boy Styles.
Exactly. I love it. I love the promo video I saw it on YouTube recently. It's so cool. He does like overdub thing of it. It's awesome. Anyway,
smooth voice,
as you'd expect with that kind of handle. So how important is it now going to be, or how much attention are you focusing or planning on focusing on providing some analytics or some sort of dashboard or something to present to people? You know, maybe they join another block in 12 months time. We've done 10 drops by that point. They don't know what they're looking at. They don't know what's worked, what hasn't worked. Is there any thoughts as to maybe providing some analytics of that? Or is the thought that maybe someone else is going to provide that as a totally different product and you're going to let them do that?
Yeah. I mean, analytics, I mean, we love numbers. Numbers are fun. We're seeing, you can look at streaming data. You can look at there's so much on-chain data.
Yeah.
You know, like what's the actual activity on-chain? But we probably, the way we're moving forward is that we have a lot of people sitting that are really good. You know, we have a new CFO joining in that worked with royalties on Spotify. So, you know, we're actually, valuations are a big part of another block, you know, and we also try to, when we look at the kind of the holders, we try to like, okay, we have the people that are here for the investment. We have the music fans, and then we have perhaps the Web3 natives that just like also like the music. It's kind of, it's different analytics for every one of those. Like if you're a fan, perhaps you're not as interested in looking at the returns. But as we mentioned before, like we have the on-chain music. We also worked a little bit with Doper.
Yeah, I was going to mention Rob, legend.
Yeah, Rob. Yeah. It's like you notice that it's super hard to predict how a song is going to perform.
Yeah, we saw some adjustments to the because there was basically a expected returns kind of outlay, and there was a pessimistic, a medium, and an optimistic kind of view. And I saw those shift as we actually got a lot of streams, which was really cool. So it actually the optimistic actually shifted up a lot, which was really cool to see because it actually is doing pretty well. I'm not sure. I'm sure you know the exact number of streams at the moment. But I looked at it a few days ago, and it was looking very impressive.
Cool.
It is looking very impressive. And I mean, yes. A lot of it has to do with like, which track are you referencing when it comes to new tracks? It's like, okay, it's probably going to perform a little bit like this. But yeah, I mean, I always thought like, this is one of Rehab and Layback Loop's finest tracks. Like, I really like it.
It is a good one. This has been Another Block Studios episode 18. Special thanks to Oscar, otherwise known as More Keith, head of product at Another Block. Pick up one of 400 pieces of Acquainted by the Weeknd from the 22nd of September. Is there any final thoughts?
Just keep on decentralizing. Be strong, people.
We don't really shout out Another Block much because we don't want to put it in people's faces. But because you're the head of product, tell them where to go. Where can they be? How can they be a part of the next drop? Do they need to have had an NFT? What's the go with that kind of stuff?
Yeah, so right now we're giving priority to our holders of the first Genesis token. But there's still ways to contribute to little fight yourself together. So, you know, get into our Discord and there's ways to become like an OG and get a lot of listens still.
Done.
Well, not now because we're already dropped.
Yeah, I mean, yeah,
the
yeah,
next
yeah.
drop, easiest way, pick up from secondary.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
a good bet and get involved.
True. Love it. Oscar, thank you so much for coming and we really appreciate it. We know you're busy. There's stuff happening. It never stops. And so, yeah, thank you so much.
And let's get you coming to Stockholm, guys.
Yes, perfect. Done. Love it.
Very good.
Bruh, Oscar, thank you so much, bro.
Cheers, guys.